It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A family in Charleston lost their 15-year-old son almost 2 years ago. The man who is accused of killing him hasn't been convicted yet.
We want to know, how are they allowing this to go on for 2 years with that, without giving any type of justice to the family at all?
Hear more about that in just a minute. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A special session to address education in West Virginia is just around the corner. As Liz McCormick reports, lawmakers from the Eastern Panhandle are making plans to reintroduce controversial legislation next month.
Lawmakers spoke with constituents at a legislative wrap-up breakfast this week in Martinsburg. The annual event is hosted by the Berkeley County Chamber of Commerce. Lawmakers listed issues they were glad to see through the legislative process, but some also expressed disappointment in the failure to pass Senate Bill 451, the controversial comprehensive education reform bill that died in the House of Delegates in February.
Support for NPR.
Senator Patricia Rucker,
a
Republican from Jefferson County, is the chair of Senate Education. She says education is the key to fixing the problems in West Virginia, like opioid addiction and retaining workforce. She's hopeful many of the components that were in Senate Bill 451 will make it into a new bill during the special session, and she expects to look at all aspects of education.
The special session call was broad enough that we can discuss anything in education from K-12 all the way to higher education, and I believe that there will be some discussions involving everything.
Rucker says she and legislative leaders aim to increase local control, give teachers a pay increase, provide more social and emotional supports in public schools, and to implement charter schools. She says charter schools will make West Virginia more competitive with surrounding states. Lawmakers stated during the breakfast that the special session would likely take place sometime in May. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Martinsburg.
The American Lung Association's annual State of the Air report was released today. As Brittany Patterson reports, while levels of fine particle pollution continue to improve across West Virginia, smog pollution remains a challenge.
The 2019 report analyzed air quality data collected by federal, state, and local air monitoring devices between 2015 and 2017, the most recent data available. Data is collected in just 10 of West Virginia's 55 counties. Overall, the American Lung Association found fine particle or soot pollution continued to improve across the state. All counties with data earned an A grade. It was a different story, however, for ozone pollution. Ozone is a powerful lung irritant. It can exacerbate asthma attacks and make it hard for people with lung disease, like COPD, to breathe. This year's report showed similar levels of unhealthy days of high ozone as last year's report. Cabell, Kanawha, Ohio, and Wood counties all earned C grades and had four or more days of unhealthy ozone levels. The American Lung Association says a warming climate and proposed federal policy changes may negatively affect air quality pollution progress. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
A panel of Democratic Pennsylvania state senators heard from experts yesterday in Pittsburgh on how to combat methane emissions from the natural gas industry. State Impact Pennsylvania's Amy Sisk has more.
Methane is a potent greenhouse gas that contributes to climate change. Sometimes it can leak from well pads and other pieces of natural gas infrastructure. Energy engineering professor Arvind Ravikumar at Harrisburg University says leak detection is advancing. Historically, crews have had to drive to a gas site and operate a camera to spot emissions. New technologies make that possible from drones and planes. Ravikumar says businesses are forming around those technologies in Alberta, where he's worked with regulators in the oil and gas industry.
Given the scale of natural gas activity in Pennsylvania, I see no reason why we cannot have these companies set up operations out of Pittsburgh.
Officials in Pennsylvania have proposed new rules to prevent leaks. Ravikumar says regulations will help lower the cost of those technologies as more gas producers adopt them on a wider scale. Amy Sisk, State Impact Pennsylvania.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:48. Becoming partly sunny today with gusty wind, highs in the 60s and 70s. Chance rain tonight with lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, chance rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 60s and 70s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by West Virginia Living Magazine, celebrating people and places who make the Mountain State a great place to live. Subscriptions available at wvliving.com. In November 2016 in Charleston, 62-year-old William Pulliam shot and killed James Means, who was 15. Pulliam faces a first-degree murder charge. The matter made national headlines, partly because Pulliam is white. Means was black. On the latest episode of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's show, Us and Them, host Trey Kay reviews the case, which was supposed to go to trial more than a year ago. There have been multiple delays. One was to assess Pulliam's mental competency. In an excerpt from the latest Us and Them episode called Waiting for Justice, Trey speaks with James Means' family, who don't understand why there have been so many delays to the trial.
We want to know, how are they allowing this to go on for 2 years without giving any type of justice to the family at all?
In December of last year, Pulliam was finally declared mentally competent, and a trial was scheduled to start in May. But the Means family continues to wait.
The case was never taken care of, so a lot of people have forgotten, thinking that the case has been resolved and taken care of, when that is not the issue here.
Each November since James' death, his mother and his family gather to remember him. They say it's hard to understand why there's been no trial.
It's inexplicable to someone who's lost someone like that.
That's Bill Forbes, a private attorney in Charleston, West Virginia. Forbes spent 12 years as Kanawha County prosecutor. That's the county where James was killed.
Basically, if someone kills you or your family, a loved one, a child, you know, there's not really much we can do, even with convicting people, that gives people someplace to focus their grief and their anger. But the reality of it is that once you walk into this system, the system itself controls what happens.
Pulliam's case was initially delayed when the court found him mentally incompetent to stand trial. This process evaluates a defendant's mental status at the time of the crime and at the time of the trial. It's a complex legal concept because someone's mental status can change. They can be competent, go to jail, and then be found incompetent to stand trial. Bill Forbes explains.
The interest of the court is justice. The interest of the prosecutors, of course, is justice. The interest of the defense lawyer is what's in the best interest of their client and their law license. And so you end up in a situation where is every 4 years he becomes competent, he comes back for trial, he's put in jail, same mental conditions, same pressures, he whacks out again. It could go on until he dies of old age.
After the shooting, William Pulliam went to jail and was held without bail. About a year later, his attorneys asked to have his mental competency evaluated. Pulliam failed that evaluation. And Kanawha County Circuit Judge Charles King ordered Pulliam to a hospital for 90 days. The goal? To see if he could become mentally able to stand trial. Last December, Pulliam finally passed that mental evaluation and was declared competent to stand trial. To the Means family, all these delays just seem like tactics and lawyers working the system. And in some ways, I kind of agree with them. I mean, it sounds like something straight out of a defense lawyer's playbook. Keep the client from going to trial by raising questions about their competency. But Bill Forbes tells me that this is an essential part of the legal proceeding.
Normal people don't kill other people. Normal, sane people don't kill other people. So a priori, everybody who kills somebody is in some degree of not being normal. The only thing you really have to go on there is my client competent to stand trial? Is he competent to assist counsel?
The way you're saying this, it sounds as though this is a routine defense strategy or a tactic that a defense attorney would use.
It is a routine tactic and defense strategy, and if you don't use it, you end up on an ineffective assistance counsel argument later about whether or not you should have used it or not. And 9 times out of 10, courts who care about whether people were properly defended, which is not always the case. But if they care about the level and of defense, not doing that means that you've dropped the ball for your client. So any competent attorney where you're faced with a largely unwinnable case and a very unsympathetic client in a horrible fact pattern, you're hoping like heck you can convince somebody that he's was crazy at the time or is too crazy to assist counsel.
I would have did the same thing. It's part of the process.
I also spoke with Rico Moore. He's an African-American criminal defense lawyer in Charleston, and he grew up in one of the city's black neighborhoods. Moore doesn't have any role in the Pulliam case, but I asked him if he thought generally this idea of evaluating for competency was a common tactic.
It's part of the process. If you talk to your client and you believe that at that time he may not have been competent, then you should get him evaluated. I have no issue with that. None whatsoever.
And at first, he was found to be incompetent, and that pushed the trial off for quite some time. And now that has been overturned. And so I'd like to know, how often does something like this happen?
Evaluation happens quite regularly, all right? Continuations happen quite regularly. I've had several murder cases, and they've been continued a few times, by me as well as by the prosecution. So that's nothing new. If he's not competent enough to understand what's going on as far as standing trial, then he shouldn't stand trial at that time.
We've been listening to an excerpt of the Us and Them episode, Waiting for Justice, where host Trey K looks back at the death of James Means in anticipation of the trial of his accused killer in early May. To hear the entire episode, tune into West Virginia Public Broadcasting tonight at 8 p.m. and again Saturday at 3 p.m. And of course, you can download the Us and Them podcast wherever you get your podcasts. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.